Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
All right, commercial breaks are dangerous when I've got a calculator and a few minutes to do some numbers. Here's what I have. 1910, when SRP is built, there's 200,000 people in Arizona. 1985, 75 years later, the census was recorded around 3 million. 32 years later, today, 2017, there's 7 million. So each one of these critical points we're at right now, it's doubling. If we keep at this pace in 16 years, there'd be 14 million people in Arizona. And I know they've calculated numbers bigger than that and talking about a whole sun belt of 19 million just from Dewey to Douglas. Where's the water coming from to support that growth? And we're looking at critical levels in Lake Mead that rationing would start. Is that going to solve its problem? We hit rations and then the developers say, well, I guess just this 10,000 acres I was going to put 20,000 homes on and make $20 billion on, I'll just walk away from.
No, it seems that water flows toward money, doesn't it? So,
water's for fighting, whiskey's for drinking.
That's right.
I'm happy to take a crack at your large question, which is, where's the water going to come from? And that's to refer you to a really great website called ArizonaWaterFacts.com, which is our Department of Water Resources Water Facts website. And there you can see that our state, compared with the mid-50s, our state has, I don't know, we went from 1 million people to 7 million people. Our economy has grown 20 times what it was in the mid-50s, and yet we're using slightly less water than we were then. So it's very important for us to keep in mind that we have decoupled population growth and economic growth from water demand. It doesn't mean that we don't need more water to have economic growth and population growth, but it does mean that we don't have to have a correlating increase in water. We've actually been decreasing our statewide water demand since 1980 or so. It's for lots of different reasons, but we shouldn't have a sort of instant idea that, oh, we've got to go find more water so that we can have more economic development and more population. We're getting more efficient about how we use water. All of our fixtures and appliances use less water than they ever did. We landscape our yards in a different way. When I grew up in Phoenix, and I think every single household in Phoenix had Bermuda grass and citrus trees or maybe palm trees, people are now taking different approaches to landscaping, more desert landscaping, lower water use, climate adaptive plants. Some of the biggest efficiencies have occurred in agriculture too. When we do all those efficiencies, we stretch our supplies for more people, more economic development, more crops per drop.
In terms of from the ag side, you talk about that population growth just in Arizona. Well, farmers and ranchers around the country are being told that by 2050, the world population will have doubled. And we have to produce 70% more food on probably less land than we're doing right now. If we're putting up houses, we're taking farming out of production, because most of the time houses go over the top of what was once farmland. And so it's a serious question of balancing that, if we're not going to be able to create more water, how are we going to balance, because the other thing you kind of need other than water is food. And so that it's not something that we should be deciding without that consideration.
And cities can grow up with apartments and condos and high rises. Steph, you've been in ag four generations, your fourth generation?
Fifth? My kids are sixth generation.
So and all that family history knowledge, have you ever been able to vertically grow your pasture?
I wish we could. There is some There is some vertical farming happening, actually, and that will probably address some of the world food needs. But, going back to the conservation that Sarah was talking about, agriculture, even in Pinal County, which is what's facing kind of this cutback in the imminent future, they have 85% efficiency, and they've gotten to that point over the last 30, 40 years. And that's a great efficiency number for agriculture. They've done that through their irrigation systems. They've done that through land leveling. They've done that through lining irrigation canals. They've done that through growing GMO crops. They've done that through rotating crops, having no-till farming. All of these things protect the water balance in the soil, and they do lots of other things. And so farmers are really kind of pushing the envelope in terms of what else can we do to to be able to save as much water as possible, be the most efficient we can with it, and still actually grow food. And so so that's part of this conversation, too, is that how much more can farming conserve and still produce to meet that growing population demand?
I drive past Rovi Dairy every Saturday when we're broadcasting at KTAR, and they've got, you know, their signs out in front of the dairy just with statistics about how much more they're growing with how much less water and how much less land. And that trend's just going to continuing that way. The efficiencies that we have in our home and in industry are going to change. One of the best quotes I've heard was from Jerry Colangelo speaking at Grand Canyon University one time, where he said, "There's opportunity is in adversity."
It's a lot of opportunity.
That's exactly where I was going.
Is that what that means?
It's in a very adverse topic, and there's a ton of opportunity here. You said it at the beginning of this segment about water follows money or money follows water, whichever. Because I don't know about y'all, my family, I was born in Arizona. My family's from Louisiana. I love Louisiana. My mom's from Memphis. Spent a lot of time in Tennessee. I love both of those. Love the Rocky Mountains up in Colorado. Have family there. I don't want to leave Arizona.
Well, and I think maybe one of the reasons people care about with Arizona is maybe the agriculture that you can see and that you live among this food production. I think people care about local food production.
I agree. And we'll talk more with Stephanie Smallhouse, president of the Arizona Farm Bureau. And Sarah, I'll get to your title after the break because I don't have enough time.
It's awfully long.